So I want to leave just a couple practical things when it comes to kind of the future and kind of implementing this compassion through this idea of developing leaders. Number one for you guys is just preserve your leadership at all costs. I mean, we're looking at the next year. We're looking at those 942 people who are looking and needing a place of community. For you guys, we need you in the game. So please preserve yourself. One of the things about that practice of daily devotions, if you haven't got that daily yet, man, please raise a hand to let us help you on that. When I look at 10 years of doing daily devotions using that REAP plan, I think the one word I would describe that time is encouragement. When I am discouraged, and that's a lot of times, God keeps my eyes focused on the task. That's what keeps me in leadership. You need that in order to preserve your leadership in your group. We need you for the long haul. Number two, maintain a manageable group size. I'll just be frank, for most of us who host, I'll tell you what, I can host 10 people. You start adding 14, 15, 16 on there, it starts to get a lot of extra work. And I can do it once, I can do it twice, I can do it a little bit, but to do it on and on every week for year after year after year, that wears you down. And I love getting other hosts to do it, and I pass the group around and stuff, but that's up to me as a leader to say, my group needs to be manageable for me so I can be in this in the long haul. Does that make sense? So group size is a big deal. Assigning responsibilities is a big deal. We are talking to leaders now who are wanting to get out because they're not assigning roles. They're doing it all, and it's wearing them out. What happens when you do it all is you can do it for a little while, particularly at the beginning when you're all jazzed and excited, but then life starts to hit, and then a crisis hits, or a family challenge hits, or a new work job hits, and all of a sudden that tips you the scales. And what is the thing that people put on the first thing to go? I just get rid of the group. I need to step away. Too busy. Let's get precise now. You're not delegating. You're not doing your role correctly. So we got to delegate responsibilities. That's how we preserve our life as leaders. We want you for the long haul. And so think marathon and assign things out. Another thing you do is address problems promptly. If you have people problems in your group, address them promptly. If you don't, there's a reason why we use the metaphor a grader, grading. Like, you ever seen this is grading on me? You ever seen a cheese grater? What does a cheese grater do? Slices chunks. Now think of your heart, your motivation, your spirit being graded by a problem that goes on and on and on. And we don't deal with it, we don't address it, and it's grating on us. That's wearing down your motivation. It's wearing down your commitment. It's wearing it down. And so to keep yourself highly motivated to be a leader, you got to address problems quickly so that your spirit stays in the game for the long term. And then lastly, the vision. The vision. I truly feel if we don't keep that vision that Jesus had and stretch ourselves to think harvest, to think big picture, to think kingdom, if we don't think kingdom, our vision is going to shrink and our motivation and passion for the role is going to shrink too. It's got to stay big. And when I've never chased a big vision and not had God just totally light me up with motivation, even when I thought I had no more motivation to give. He lights you up with motivation to keep going because he's a passionate visioning of God and he loves to share those things. So that's how we keep the erosion from taking us out of the leadership game. Preserve our leadership at all costs. Next one, and apologize the numbers didn't come through. It's a formatting thing on my part. Pray for an apprentice. That's what Jesus said, right? Pray earnestly. When I look at 18%, I'm thinking, hey guys, this is a faithful group of people. We are not praying for leaders. And I'm putting myself in that bag. We're not praying for leaders earnestly because I believe they'll come if we do. And so I want to issue a 30-day challenge. I'm not asking you to take any action tonight. I'm not saying out, go hustle up leaders tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying to do. I'm saying let's do what Jesus said. Let's start praying earnestly. Let's start with 30 days. What might happen in 30 days if we, no kidding, put praying for apprentices at our top of our list? Now, don't shoot the messenger here. Don't shoot the question here I'm about to give you here. But how many times did Jesus say pray for your spouse? Huh? Did he? Jesus said, pray for your spouse daily? No, I don't think he did. I don't remember one time him saying that. Now, is praying for your spouse important, right? Can we imply it from other areas of Scripture? Yeah. But what did Jesus do say explicitly to pray for? Leaders. And he said to pray earnestly, okay? So just ask that simple question. On my prayer list, You know, pray for my spouse, pray for my kids, pray for my job, pray for this, pray for that. Praying for leaders. Is that at the top of our list? Are we earnestly praying that? Let's try it. 30 days. See what happens when we do that. Along with this, I'd also ask us to address the personal fear, doubt, and faith issues regarding develop leaders. Does that just kind of freak you out, the idea of trying to raise up a leader? I mean, is that just too much? Address that. Work through that. Don't allow that doubt to continue on. And then meditate on Matthew 9:38. Just let Jesus be the example here. It's not Mike McGuire telling you what to do. Let's meditate on what he said and see how he informs our actions. Lastly, number three, identify an apprentice. This is when it comes to the practical, what do we do to make leaders? I think this is one of the most important steps, is just identifying them. Here's some things to look for when you're doing that. Who acts with integrity in your group? Who is available and attends consistently? Availability is a big indicator of leadership development. Remember, who were the ones that Jesus sowed into, the ones that made themselves available? They're the ones that left and followed, right? So they were there and available to them. So look at that as leadership potential. Who's faithful in assigned tasks? Remember Paul said to Timothy, when you're appointing deacons, what do you do first? Test those guys. Give them a task to do. Give them something to do. See how they do. Then you'll start to see if they have leadership potential or not. That's where the whole assigning of tasks goes. You should have a lot of people leading discussions in your groups. Assign them a task. See how they do. Host this. See how they do. Hands and feet project. See how they do. Address this people. Go out, do a hospital visit. See how they do. Test them. Get people active in doing things. And then what does your coach think? Get some other perspectives. I think developing leaders is a team game. And so we want to help on that. Hey, what do you think of so-and-so? I think that'd be a great apprentice. We'll even do interviews with them. We'll talk to them and have lunch with them just to kind of see where they're at if you want to get another perspective. But we can do that together. So that's identifying apprentice. That's the practical things when it comes to leadership development and looking at this. So here's what I want to ask you. We're going to do a little bit of group discussion and prayer before we leave here tonight. I just want to ask us as we talk about this tension, providing care, cultivating relationships, building community, and this idea of developing leaders, and the tension we naturally feel there. But dialing into Jesus, what was the thrust of his ministry? And this challenging idea of compassion. Is compassion simply a mercy gift expressed within the confines of our group to people we know and care about? Or does compassion have this visionary leadership development edge to it, where it's just not enough for our group to be okay, but there's crowds and this River City mission of more people living real life? What does more people do to lift us up and live differently in our leadership? Wrestle with that. And I challenge you, take this 30-day prayer challenge with me. Haven't figured it out yet, but I'll find some way to kind of connect over the internet or somewhere where we're talking and reminding one another. Man, let's take it seriously. Let's pray for 30 days. We're at 18% of our groups have apprentices. What will happen after 30 days of prayer in our groups? What kind of leadership potential will rise as a result of that? I don't know. I think it's worth taking Jesus' example.